Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Maxwell Cohen. Maxwell, please, can you tell us where you are in the world and what you do for a living?
Born and raised in New York City, right in the heart of New York City at the moment. And when I was in college, I noticed my friends rarely ever washed their bed sheets. So when I came home from college as well, I noticed that my elderly grandparents were having trouble washing their bed sheets on more than a weekly basis. You know, coming from a very entrepreneurial family, I said to myself, there has to be an easier way. That was the impetus behind my business, Peelaways. Peelaways is one fitted bed sheet that you sleep on with the elastic at the bottom that we're all familiar with, and it has five soft, 100% waterproof peel-away disposable layers. It became a phenomenon in the caregiving world, the elderly incontinence world, potty training world, special needs world, even though I invented it for myself as a college student, and you could get your mind out of the gutter. It's up to you.
That's awesome. But what was the first angle of like your product development? Obviously, like you made a prototype for yourself, obviously. But when you first started selling this thing, I mean, which one of those angles did you kind of take on first? Was it the kind of elderly, like, you know, caretaking side, or was it more on like the infant child side?
You got it. So when you're starting a business, you go after markets you're familiar with. And before I raised capital for the business, I wanted to beta test some markets I was familiar with that I believe that this was a could of use product. The reason I say that is because once you become an expert in your space, there's people that could use your product, there's people that should use your product, and then you refine when you become even smarter and get belly to belly with your customer, there's people that need your product. So we started with the people that I was most familiar with, that I could get my foot in a door. That was summer camps and college students. I created a few prototypes, and of course, there's a whole story behind that, but to stick to the question, is I went to the closest summer camp conference where it's sleepaway camps, where I created a product that had seven layers because I knew summer camps were 7 weeks. So I reached out to some of the summer camps I originally went to. I have some family friends and friends who have friends that owned summer camps, and got their feedback. And that original trade show, we sold out of our original batch. Was it the best product I've ever had to date? No, I've gone through 32 iterations to date. That was probably iteration number 7 or 8. But we knew we were onto something when the summer camps started to buy more and more and wanted more over the summer, but I was sold out.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what was kind of the feedback that you were getting when you initially got into the space with the summer camps? I mean, clearly there was almost 20 more iterations after that. So what kind of good feedback did you get? But also what kind of useful criticism did you get from that helped you, you know, further develop the product?
When you're selling to children and not babies and not, you know, teenagers or a little older, so it's a much easier market to satisfy. Let's just say that, because when you're with babies, it needs to be incredibly soft. And when you're with elderly, it needs to be 100% waterproof. So this was a stage of the business where the product was soft enough and it was water resistant. So the feedback I received is 7 layers was the right way to do it. You cut down on our laundry. And some of the summer campers sometimes had bedwetting issues, and that this was an excellent product for that niche of students at the summer camps. And then they started buying it for their infirmaries. So that market, I got tremendous feedback that it needed to be a little bit softer, and that they preferred that it was more waterproof. Now it's 100% waterproof. It was originally water resistant. And then I got the feedback that the size fit the bed relatively well. And so that actually really wasn't a hard feedback play. It was more of, is there something here? And then we started to expand to a few other niches that I was more familiar with. And then the internet itself, the Amazons of the world, my website. And then when we started running some ads, we started recognizing that there's a should business and that there's a need business. And we'll get into that in a bit.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. And so you kind of springboarded you from there to, you know, getting into maybe some other niches. Like, what was kind of the first one after you did this initial, you call it, I guess, like it was kind of like a, you know, feedback trial with doing the summer camps to kind of affirm the idea and that it can work and that you actually had something. So what did that kind of springboard you into? What was your next kind of niche that you got in right after that?
I mean, that really springboarded my confidence that there is something here, and that allows you to explore other niches and other categories. Now, having a product like this makes it is a little bit difficult because there's a million categories and a lot of people tell you some incredible categories that your product makes sense for, but you know, you can get a little distracted if trying to go for every single one. Some are seasonal, and so I wanted to make sure that I tried to find the ones that are not seasonal. And I went on, you know, when you also first start a business, the other only thing you know how to do, especially starting a business 10 to 8 years ago, the world has dramatically changed, is that you get yourself PR. You know, it's really just reach out to everyone to see if you can get the product out on a TV show or radio show. And you really, you know, I remember just sending products to everyone totally unsolicited. And you know, some of that turned into excellent feedback, excellent experience, toughened me up because some people were rude, but it also makes you a little bit ruthless. And so I waited downtown LA with 800 other entrepreneurs or wantrepreneurs. I believe it starts as a wantrepreneur and then becomes an entrepreneur because you have to want it. You don't just straight go into it. And that's also what this beta test allowed me to do. It allowed me to become a wantrepreneur. And it actually made me feel like an entrepreneur because I have a market now. And I know they're going to come back next year. So I went on the hit show Shark Tank and I got excellent feedback there. Got totally beat up. It was a wonderful, fun experience. It allowed me to understand what other people are thinking. I like to remind people that your friends and family are not your beta testers. You know, I happen to live in New York, New York City. And when I mentor and coach young entrepreneurs, and young doesn't mean age, it just means becoming an entrepreneur. Go up to 10 strangers. And I'm always pretty generous. If 3 out of 10 strangers say there's something here or understand the value proposition, I think you should continue on and continue iterating. A lot of people say you have to have 5 to 8. No, if you could get people to understand, especially as the CEO of the business, you might not be the world's greatest marketer or salesperson, but if you could sell your vision that you turned into somewhat of a reality to strangers, I think that's where you get the best feedback. And a lot of these strangers were mentioning, I have an elderly parent. I have a potty training toddler. And I think this can be an excellent product for that category. And when I went on that TV show, I only had 2 sizes. This was in my early days. 1 size was the Twin XL, which was one of the markets I was familiar with, college dorm rooms or Twin XLs, every college dorm room. And then summer camp was the cot size. So I also had the cot size. And so learning from those 2 experiences, it allowed me to expand the product line from crib all the way up to king. And each one of those actually have a separate market, as you can imagine. The crib is different than the king size market. But I did learn that the Twin XL market was actually the standard hospital size bed. And so that allowed me to immediately try and propel into that market.
And so as you kind of go come up to 2024 now, obviously there's all these opportunities. I see you have SKUs still for all these things. What's kind of your biggest driver still to this day? It's kind of more in the maybe cot to Twin XL size, or what's kind of the biggest driver for you as far as with all the SKUs that you have now?
Got it. So you're asking driver of SKU size. We'll step it back a little bit. I've been doing this for 8 years. The driver of doing it for 8 years, as you can imagine, within these 8 years, Amazon, Shopify, Facebook, all have started iterating themselves. You know, 8 years ago, advertising, and you guys would know, was much easier. Shopify finally became a very reliable platform. I was originally on WooCommerce and WordPress, which was a disaster. Amazon was incredibly hard to work with. COVID has stepped in the way, working with a lot of other world circumstances. So this is 7.5 years in the making. I like just to remind people, you know, I don't like to bring you from zero to success. And you could only imagine, you guys don't know where I am in the journey, but I'll keep that to myself. Everything's pretty good. But right now it's Twin XL, and that allows me to understand who my customer is. It's the hospital bedridden customer. And what also drives me in a different metaphorical way is the reviews that I receive. I would have gave up many, many years ago because business is not fun. It's tough. It's a contact sport. I don't know if you could see them, but I got scars and battle wounds, but they make you stronger and faster. There's no such thing as a mistake as long as you've learned. So between the reviews and understanding who my customers are, who were not my original thought, I didn't have children. I didn't have substantially bedridden grandparents. I saw that there was a need when they took medications or got a hip replacement, but I didn't think about the long-term caring of somebody. And now I like to joke around, the longer you're in business, the longer you are in business. So my market has matured, that America's relatively old. I think there's 100,000 65-year-olds every single day, something substantial. It's a wealthy market, and caregiving has become more prevalent than ever in the U.S. market. You and I, family caregivers, are going to have to be taking care of somebody, you know, within our lifetime. And, you know, there's some advantages to the government wanting people to stay at home and people wanting to age in place longer. And something as simple as one fitted bed sheet with five peel away disposable 100% waterproof layers allows folks to keep their dignity, independence, and age in place longer.
Yeah, I appreciate the perspective of not wanting to talk about the start to the beginning, because the journey is the most important thing. And it's so much of that gets lost, I feel, especially as younger entrepreneurs, as you say, not in age, but just in, you know, their journey. All they see on social media, and all I see on social media, is people like, I sold $1 million of envelopes yesterday. Like, it's so easy. And just like, oh, it seems like overnight success, or it seems like you just like fell into it. It's like, if you're not making $1 million a month, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So I appreciate that perspective. I think it's really important for people to hear, you know, maybe as a very budding entrepreneur, somebody really young in that, in their journey, not even still in maybe a product development or just an idea stage, it's important to understand that everything that you just said. So I appreciate you sharing that. And so how do you kind of find yourself working with, do you find yourself doing more direct with this niche that you've kind of, you know, matured into with the elder care? Do you find selling like to families directly, or do you find selling more into like institutions like hospitals, nursing homes, maybe even ICU, for example?
You got it. So direct to consumer business, I wouldn't recommend it. I know that's the businesses that we're both in, and I'm sure you have your own qualms, and so do I. That person that says they made $1 million in sales, but did they make $1 million in profit? The answer is absolutely not. If anything, they might probably be 85% time in the red. People don't understand the timeline. I have to bring product from China. I have to bring it here. That's a shipping container. That's time and money. I have to warehouse it. I have to get people to come to my website, which is also time, money, cost per clicks, driving the funnel, paying people in the agency world, building a wonderful website. There are so many moving pieces in this direct-to-consumer world. By the time you make a sale, you're actually probably in the red. So I like to remind people about that. So if I would start a business again, or recommend a type of business to start, it would be in the same category that I'm in. One, I sell international. That's export business. Two, I sell through distribution into healthcare facilities. Three, I do Amazon, and I've sold into retail, brick and mortar. Four, I sell direct to consumer through my website. So you have to really figure out how to spend your time and money. Ironically, my Shopify website is the most expensive, time consuming, and least profitable, and least revenue generating of all of the above. But you always have to have an online presence. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So I sell through a distribution company now called Medline. They happen to be one of the largest distribution of healthcare products in the world. And they've been a wonderful, strong partner. I've worked with their competitors in the past and learned that not everybody's, you know, all these distribution hubs are the same. And when I first started my business, I thought I could do the distribution myself. But most people want a one-stop shop, especially when it comes to these healthcare institutions. They don't want to work with a one-off business and purchase from them, sign them up as a vendor, do the whole nine yards. So I've explored every single avenue, and I triple down on the ones that are working the most while nurturing my online presence. I've been in brick and mortar. I pulled the products during COVID. It was just a tough time. Now we pivoted during COVID to direct to consumer, Amazon, and our website. Originally, before that, it was mostly B2B business, international, actually mostly international B2B business. It had the least friction and it required, you know, the least overhead from my perspective. And now I raised money, a few $1 million for my business after Shark Tank, after getting humiliated. But that's okay. That's the best part about business. And, you know, the plan there was to sell this product international. What's the big picture? Big picture is allowing this to become a product in an institution. And everything in business is about lifetime value. We have a wonderful subscription business on the internet, but really we have a wonderful subscription business when it comes to some institutions where this becomes part of their curriculum. Not literally their curriculum, but part of their everyday paper towels, toilet paper, diapers, peel-aways. And I like to remind people, going back to the point we had before, I really don't care what you sell. We are in the margins business as entrepreneurs. There's only two numbers that matter, your expenses versus your revenue. So those are things that you have to keep in mind, and keep it in mind from the beginning. You're allowed to tease people with, you know, with some coupons, to get people to come, but create a business that has all four of those verticals on top of a business that becomes a subscription business. Those are my favorite customers. Those are the ones that keep me hustling on bad days. And that is the only business I would step into moving forward. Truthfully, I wouldn't have a business that has overhead or inventory in my next life, but I'm here now. I became an expert. I've gone through the journey. And if I could teach others and make their journey 1% easier, that's why I love these conversations.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. It's super insightful. It's really important, I think, for people to hear, because, you know, having somebody who's had, obviously, you know, success as you have and gone through the growing pains yourself is, it could really be helpful to somebody, you know, trying to do this on their own again. And, you know, if you go back and give yourself a bunch of advice, obviously you would, but you're kind of doing that for others now, the younger entrepreneurs, and you know, if they're able to listen to this conversation, they're kind of able to get some of that advice so they don't have to wish they told it to themselves years back. So I really appreciate the insights. It's really valuable. And but I'm curious as well, you know, obviously you've matured into this kind of, you know, healthcare niche and, you know, working with distributors. It's kind of like where you carved out the best margins and the most success for the brand. Do you see anything else on the horizon as far as, you know, different verticals that are maybe maturing and other ways that, again, like, you know, I know you said you weren't really expecting it to go this way. Are you finding anything else kind of, you know, coming to you now that you're looking to develop more?
Absolutely. So with all the feedback from customers, there are customers that will not touch a disposable product no matter what. Even though I go, do you use diapers? They go, yeah. Do you use incontinent pads? Yeah, but for some reason, end all be all, the sheet cannot be disposable. Then I have some customers that, you know, we have one SKU that comes with a free pillowcase. This is the one that we had on retail shelves. This was our loss leader and our entry product. It was under $19.99, which is the, you know, the giveaway number. And it came with a free pillowcase. And the customers that buy this product now have harassed me in a good way. Do you sell pillowcases? We love your material and we love that it's waterproof. And I don't. And so I do take back their feedback, working on a reusable version of the product, as well as bringing our pillowcases to market. People have asked for different sizes when it comes to institutions. They want a bassinet size for changing tables. Mm. We've created and iterated on that, and we'll have those up in the next 2 months. And then just some hospital SKUs, I've never heard of them, but, you know, when I go to the hospital, I'm like, all right, what is that? I don't see a bed sheet on there. What's going on there? We could create one and send it to you within the week. But people also don't understand, I have a whole manufacturing relationship behind the scenes. I take my quality control incredibly seriously. One recall could essentially put my business out of business or cost me a pretty penny. So take your customers' feedback, and now we're going to release some SKUs. You know, we also, you know, search the internet and see what's popular on the internet when it comes to disposable bedding. There's massage tables. We already took that out. But people buy so many travel packs of sheets, and it's not specifically peelaways. So we just created a version of our product that's one fitted sheet, comes with a top sheet, comes with a pillowcase. Depending on the size, sometimes it comes with two pillowcases. So I'm an expert in textiles, and I like to remind people, know what business you are in. Most people think I'm in the sheet business. No, I'm an expert in textiles. I am in the textile business. That's what it really comes down to. So if there's any iteration of textiles, I'm in on it. I'm just a salesperson. I'm trying to figure out what you guys want and to see if there's a margin in that category, and then I'll produce it.
Yeah, I think you kind of took the words out of my mouth as you were speaking with, you know, understanding what business that you're in, because, you know, you can make functional shoe wear, for example, or if it's not functional, like the conversation very recently with an amazing brand, and they were doing fourth trimester and postpartum functional clothing. And, you know, she was talking kind of about the same thing. We're like, yes, like we started in this, this is our niche and this is where we sell and we understand it. But also I'm being asked to, can you also do this? I'm like, of course I can. It's like, I just haven't because I've been nurturing this like one niche and like developing these products for this specific purpose. But like now that I have product development in this area, there's a lot of different avenues we can go, whether it's a new brand or under the guise of the same brand. I think it's really important to, you know, keep your brainstorming and creative mind around which different directions you can go and what more general space that you're in. Took the words out of my mouth there. That's exactly what I was thinking. And it's great advice for anybody listening. It's one thing to really keep in mind is when you have some success, you know, you could find other avenues to be successful too that are under the same kind of umbrella. You know, maybe you can even work with the same manufacturer and all the logistical sides of it as well. So that's awesome. And you kind of already mentioned a few things to this point, but this is the question I always love to ask. Had a lot of good advice here, but you know, you've been in business for a long time. If you could go back to the beginning, say, even just like in the idea stage, you know, knowing everything you know now, the whole journey and all the things you've learned, business, personal, any side of it, if you could give yourself just one piece of advice, you can go back to the beginning, or I suppose somebody else starting new, what kind of advice would you give yourself or to somebody who's starting fresh?
A few things. Always be scrappy. You know, when I raise capital and all these companies raise capital, you lose your vision and throw money at problems opposed to staying scrappy. And, you know, I like to joke around, always be in crisis mode. I like to remind founders, we're in the exit business as well. We've raised capital from investors who, you know, people don't understand they're in the investing business. No, they're in the exit business. If you don't sell your business or IPO, which is most of the time never happening, but you're never really going to make substantial money. Licensing seems cool, you know, 5 to 3% of $2 million, not much. Keep your company as lean as humanly possible, but don't starve it. You know, as a founder, you got to get smart quick. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. If you're not getting smarter every single day, you will get left behind and you will lose. And ways to get smarter, of course, is networking. You know, you can roll your eyes at it. I didn't do enough when I was starting. I wanted to focus on what I was doing, but open up your network, learn from others, find and ask somebody to be your mentor, sign up for some newsletters. Don't run out of cash. You know, most of these companies fall apart, or not because the product is bad, it's because they simply ran out of cash. And if you believe in what you're doing and you have customers that continue to either buy your product or cheer you on, keep at it. You know, companies fail, entrepreneurs don't. So those are the words of wisdom. Expand your network, make sure your margins are strong, and then know everything that goes into a business. We were in the business of failing as an entrepreneur. And I'd love to know that the odds are against me because it makes me work even harder.
Yeah, no, that's amazing advice. And to your point, just the point of networking is, like, believe me, with doing this podcast series, like, other entrepreneurs and CEOs of brands, whether similar to yours or not, are willing to do these things, willing to have these conversations, because there's a mutual benefit on both sides. People can always learn from each other. If you're doing something kind of crazy, whatever, you got to sign an NDA just to have a Zoom call, at least you still can both get the benefit from it. You know, if you want to bounce some ideas off of somebody maybe you know, or is a friend of a friend about something that maybe is not on the market yet, it's easy enough. You can print out an NDA from anywhere, like across the internet, just say, hey, sign this. I can't have anybody talking about this, but I want to get your ideas. Like, so no, it's great advice. I learned so much doing this podcast series. As I mentioned to you off the air, we're coming up on 600 now. The wealth of knowledge is just incredible. And especially coming from you, a great story, great advice. I mean, for anybody listening, I mean, definitely take these things into consideration for at the early stages or even in the middle stages. I think it's all really good advice. So Maxwell, I really appreciate your time. I just want to say thank you. And thanks for coming on. Really appreciate it.
Shout out. Thank you so much. Peelaways.com, potty training, caregiving, anything in between, any temporary living situation, you could tell I'm going to sell. And I really appreciate your time, and take these words, you know, with a grain of salt. It's up to you. If it makes your journey 1% easier, that's what I'm trying to do, because it ain't fun. It ain't easy, but that's the best part.
That's awesome, man. I love it. Thank you again, Maxwell. I really appreciate it. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Matt.